Let's read today from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Here's the word of God for the people of God on this Christmas Eve. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. I wanted to give to you something for Christmas Eve, and the best I could do was a poem. So I want to share a poem with you. Do we have slides for this, Mel? You're saying you don't know. Okay. If they come, they'll come and they'll be great, but if not, listen to this poem by Emily Dickinson. Tell all the truth, but tell it slant. Success in circuit lies. Too bright for our infirm delight, the truth's superb surprise. As lightning to the children eased with explanation kind, the truth must dazzle gradually, or every man be blind. Thank you, thank you. My son, Whitaker, has very sensitive eyes. Every time he goes from a moderately dark place to a moderately bright place, he feels that his eyes are burning out of his skull. He might be a little bit overreactive. It takes him a long time to adjust to the light. I tell him frequently that my dad's favorite way of waking me up when I was a kid was simply coming into my room and flipping on the light switch and saying, "Rise and shine!" And then he would go bebopping down the hallway. In our case, he would go bebouting down the hallway. It's Christmas Eve, I get that one. That's a freebie. We can all relate to the squinty-eyed feeling of moving from a place that our eyes have adjusted to in the dark to suddenly being somewhere that's very bright. Maybe it's at the movies when the house lights come on. Maybe it's driving down the interstate with someone that hasn't turned off their high beams. Maybe it's an evening and an officer has pulled you over and very helpfully points a 1,000 lumen light bulb in your eyeballs. But we all know the feeling. And this is the exact kind of feeling that we would have if we were to ever attempt to gaze at the brightness and the glory of God. And we know this from Exodus 34, verses 18 through 20. Moses did this very thing. Moses tries to view the glory and the brightness and the goodness of God, and God says, "You can't handle it." Moses says, "Lord, please show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." We all claim to want to see God, but none of us would survive the encounter. Dickinson's poem is one of my favorites, and she says that the truth's superb surprise is too bright for our infirm delight. If you're wondering, anything below 3,500 lumens is comfortable for the human eye. When we're outside in the shade, that's normally 1,000 lumens is how much light our eyes are taking in. But when we go into the bright direct sun, especially if there's a lot of asphalt all around us, it can get up to 6,000 lumens, which is why you start squinting and wanting to put on sunglasses. 10,000 lumens of direct light can cause permanent blindness. And I don't know how many lumens it would take to kill a person, but we could assume that God's glory is somewhere above that. The sun, every moment of the day, puts out 35.73 octillion lumens, but it is filtered through time and space in such a way that we do not get all of its fury all at once, which is a good thing. Dickinson reminds us that children can be comforted from the terror of a sudden lightning flash with explanation kind. And this is what happens in Luke's gospel three times when angels appear to different people and then suddenly tell them, do not fear. People are overwhelmed by the sudden appearance of these angelic beings that are shrouded in light. Each one of them received this explanation kind of why they're being visited by these divine beings, that the Son of God is coming. He's coming to earth, but not in the full luminosity of his glory. He's coming in a flicker, not in the full blaze of the sun, but in the twinkling of a faraway star. Dickinson's poem ends with the memorable reflection, the truth must dazzle gradually, or every man be blind. The Apostle Paul would certainly agree to this sentiment. In Acts chapter 9, we hear about him traveling to Damascus and encountering the resurrected Lord, and that encounter with the Lord in his glory and his luminosity leaves him blinded. Acts 9, 3 through 9. As Saul neared Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there, speechless, and they heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand to Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Paul experienced the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus all at once and was indeed blinded by that sudden truth. But in Bethlehem, all those years ago, a new dawn for humankind began to break gently and slowly. In the incarnation, God tells all the truth, but he tells it slant. The light of men rests softly in the manger, wrapped in the lampshade of humanity. Because of his great mercy, God revealed himself to us without requiring us to hide behind a rock or be blinded by his glory. The Son of God is the truth, but he dazzles gradually. John 1, verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Because we live in the Northern Hemisphere, 3 days ago was the winter solstice, the darkest day of the year. And then kindly, we got to follow that up with the coldest day of the year, and hopefully for the next many years. That all means that tomorrow will be brighter than it was today, just by a little bit. I looked at the schedule for the sunrise and the sunset, and tomorrow you will all enjoy 13 more seconds of sunshine than you did today. Just a little bit more. But that's how the gospel comes to us. Not in a blinding fury, but in a gentle twinkle, a light that we can see that grows and grows until we are full of light, seeing God's glory. A single candle puts out about 12 lumens of light compared to the thousands and millions we were talking about before. But the human eye, ever sensitive and seeking out light in the darkness can perceive a single candle over a mile and a half away. This year, many of us may be straining to see the flicker of God, but trust me, on Christmas, the light of the world has come. Don't feel bad if it doesn't overwhelm you all at once. Actually, be grateful that we can see it slowly grow in our hearts and in the lives of those around us. Let me read Dickinson one more time before we go into this candle lighting ceremony. Tell all the truth, but tell it slant. Success and circuit lies, too bright for our infirm delight, the truth's superb surprise. As lightning to the children eased with explanation kind, the truth must dazzle gradually, or every man be blind. We're gonna transition now as we have the band come back on stage to our candle lighting ceremony. And that's simply an opportunity for us to remember that the light of the world has come to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And as we gather and as we sing, we take the light from the Christ candle and we pass it. We pass it through the room, kind of signifying that that one small flicker of light, that one expression of pure holiness and grace that is in Jesus, it does grow. It's passed on. It's received into hearts with thanksgiving, and it's given back through the proclamation of the gospel. We pray tonight that you would receive the flicker, the light of God that dazzles gradually. May it grow every day in your heart and in your lives. May there be enough room for us to see the goodness and the glory and the light of God. So, as we get ready to sing Silent Night, I'll take this candle and I will pass it on throughout the room. Candle etiquette says that the person with the light holds their candle up. The person receiving the light dips their candle. Please remember, here, we'll show you. We'll model it perfectly. Please remember that our carpet is much more important to us than your hands, so catch the wax if it drips. And let's go to the Lord as we see this flicker of light begin to grow. Let's focus our attention on Him. You in Jesus' name this evening, that the light and the love of God would shine upon your home, would shine on your family, would shine into your light. We bless you in Jesus' name. to trust the light, even if in this moment it feels like a flicker. We pray that you would reach for the light in Jesus and recognize that his gentle and gradual coming is a gift so that we can perceive his glory and not be overwhelmed by it. We bless you in Jesus' name with love and joy and peace and hope tonight. May the light of God continue to burn in you. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen and amen. You can gently blow out your candles. Are you squinting? We love you very much, church family. Go in peace.